Everyone for being here. All right, welcome. Today is the June 7th, 2023 meeting of the Citizen Review Committee. I'm Yume Delgado. I'm the vice chair of the CRC, and I will be chairing this meeting today in Candace's absence. For those of you who are attending, please feel free to introduce yourself in the comments here or in the chat. We'll leave that on for the time being. And then I guess we'll get started by just having the CRC members introduce themselves. So again, Yume Delgado, he, him, vice chair, and also chair the Transition Future Committee, which we'll be talking about today. Why don't we start with people I can see here. So Chris, Taylor, and Greg, if you want to introduce yourselves and say where you're calling from.
Thank you. I'm Chris Pekarski. I'm a member of the CRC. I'm in Southeast Portland. I use he, him pronouns.
Hi, Greg Griffin from North Portland. He, him pronouns, and I glad to be here this morning. Afternoon, sorry.
Taylor Snell, CRC member, he, him pronouns, and I'm coming to you from Selwood.
All right. And then Sylvan, Kelsey, and David, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourselves.
Hi, everyone. Sylvan Frazier. I use they, them pronouns. I'm a CRC member, and I'm in Northeast Portland.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kelsey Lloyd. I'm the Deputy Director of IPR, filling in for Ross today.
I'm David Nguyen, he, him pronoun. I work for IPR.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone. Welcome. So we do not have an appeal this evening. This should be a fairly short agenda, but we will get through it in short order here and let you get on with the rest of your evenings here. So let's see here. I think first we have one set of minutes to approve. This would be for April 5th, 2023. Before we jump into voting, did anyone have any additions or amendments to the minutes?
No, but I was not present, so I'll be abstaining. I'm not sure if how that works mathematically with the quorum. Do we need only a majority of those who are here to vote to approve the minutes for it to go through, or?
Yeah, we just need a majority, yes.
Okay, sorry. I thought quorum might be an issue for that. Never mind.
Good. Thanks for checking, Sylvan. That's a good point. All right, if nobody has any amendments, I will entertain a motion to accept the minutes as submitted.
Pekarski moves.
Seconded.
All right. Wonderful. Okay. So roll call. We'll start with Greg.
Aye.
Delgado also votes aye. Pekarski.
Aye.
I guess I'll use first name. Sorry. Stilton.
Abstain.
Taylor?
Aye.
All right. So that is 4-0-1. Minutes are accepted. All right. Moving on. Kelsey, would you like to do the honors for the director's report?
Yeah, sure thing. Not a big update from IPR operations today. We just closed the recruitment we had open for our open investigator positions. That just closed on Monday. So we're reviewing those applications now and hoping to do interviews soon. We got a good number of applicants. So just looking forward to going through those and getting some new folks on board.
Awesome. And I understand we're in the works on CRC and IPR or a PRB pool recruitment as well, right?
We are, yeah. David's been working on that. We've got some applicants or some people who are interested so far and still collecting applications for that as well, for both those positions.
Okay, wonderful. Any questions on the director's report from CRC? Thank you, Kelsey. Vice Chair's report. We are continuing to just try and keep things moving along here. Keep ourselves staffed. We are I think starting to wrap up on the transition report, we're going to get to that here in a little bit later this evening. We are going to, since we do not have an appeal for July, we're going to take the month of July off. We'll return in August, hopefully with perhaps a final draft on the transition past memo. Normally we take a little summer break here. So y'all can enjoy your Julys, enjoy your 4th of July break. Candace and I have continued to meet with the mayor. Nothing really to note from those meetings. The mayor remains very concerned about gun violence in the city of Portland, that it remains at the top of his to-do list. I think many of you saw that the city of ultimately decided not to pursue gunshot detection technology at this juncture. So we will see what the future brings in that regard. But I know that they are continuing to look for alternative ways to address that issue. And obviously, we continue to keep an eye on the implementation of the body-worn camera program, which is in the works. I don't think we have any real updates from IPR. Obviously, we don't really talk to the auditor's office that much anymore, but we are continuing to make sure that everything is staffed appropriately. Appreciate all of those of you who have been working on the PRBs. And then I think, I guess any questions for me on the chair's report? Okay. All right. So big item of new business tonight is the transition past and future discussion here. So for those, just as a reminder, we are working on kind of a final report for CRC, looking at where we've been and where we're going and what we hope the new body will achieve. The transition past document is obviously a much larger document because we're looking back at over 20 years of history here. That subcommittee is still hard at work, kind of wrapping up that report and putting it into a digestible format. Tonight, though, we are going to be taking a look at the transition future component of that. So that would be looking forward to the next couple of years and even beyond that, and talking about what we hope the CRC, or what we hope a successor body to the CRC would be able to do in terms of powers and some of the challenges that we think we face. So the reason we're bringing this to you tonight is that obviously the Police Accountability Commission is wrapping up their final phases of work, and there are still some things that remain to be determined. There are some things I think they're still actively kind of discussing and trying to discern on. And to that end, actually, I think IPR, as well as Candace and I, will be going to a PAC meeting, I believe, next week to present and brief and kind of dialogue with them. But the other component of that is we want to show them where we're at right now. Obviously, this transition document is meant to be for posterity to a certain extent. It's meant to be not just for the PAC, but for anybody who's looking at the work of the CRC in future. But right now, they could probably use a little bit of our input. And so we are bringing a draft version of that transition future document to the full CRC tonight to approve, not as a final product, but just as a draft that is able to be disseminated to the PAC and say, hey, this is a preview of what the final document's going to be. Since their deliberations will probably be over by the time that document comes out. So in the PAC, they talk about broad areas of agreement as opposed to a final, a final finished product. And I think that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. I'm going to try and bring up a copy of the transition outline. I don't know. Obviously, Chris is on the transition future team. So I'm sure you've had a chance to read this in great detail, Chris. The rest of you, have any of you had a chance to look at this document in detail since it went out? Okay. All right. I'm going to see. David, I think I have the capacity to share screen, right?
Yes, you're the co-host, so you should have the power to do that.
We're going to see if I can make this work, because I have not done this before. All right, let me see. It'll let me do this here. Zoom.
I have it up if you end up needing help.
David, is there any way that you might be able to pull that document up? Because it's making me, my system's settings are set to where I would have to exit this call and log back in.
I'm going to have to look for that document. Okay. You see it now. Okay.
Yeah, perfect. So just for the people in the audience and for those of you who maybe need a refresher here, again, this is just a working draft here, but David, if you wouldn't mind just scrolling a little bit, or Chris, if you wouldn't mind scrolling.
It's actually me, yeah. So just let me know when you want me to stop.
Why don't we stop on page 2? So I'm not going to read through all this in its entirety, but basically there are two or three main sections. One of them is looking at policy areas that we have tried to make movement on at a citywide level and have not been successful at. So the first one is the standard of review. For those of you who were at meetings in 2021 and 2022, you'll remember this conversation. Looking at the concept of a reasonable person as opposed to a preponderance of evidence versus a reasonable case manager. My understanding is that it's quite likely that this standard will be what the new police advisory body uses. And so there's a certain sense that if they move forward with that, it may make sense for us to adopt that standard as we wind down as sort of a test bed for that. So this has increased saliency as we get closer to this new system. Chris, if you wouldn't mind taking this forward. Recommendations that were made by the CRC are the 2020 protest report and recommendations. We recommended a lot of things in that report, and to date, there has been little to no movement from the Bureau or from City Council on these. So we won't go into all of them tonight unless someone has a specific question, but just kind of highlighting a lot of our recommendations about the use of munitions, the use of de-escalation tactics, and also just increased training, anti-bias training, wellness training, duty to intervene, and some of those things. Moving on to our wish list. Thank you, Chris. So a couple of things that we hope for the future body. One is improved institutional knowledge. They are planning on having a lot more staffing than IPR does right now. When it comes to precedents, you know, we're often relying on David and Ross and Kelsey and some of the members of our audience to keep us informed as to, you know, what things we've looked at in the past or if there's been similar cases. And they do a great job, but that shouldn't be, that burden shouldn't fall on David's memory or Ross's memory. So in the new system, we do hope that there will be improved institutional knowledge and that there will be maybe a system in place that, you know, a board member can query staff and, you know, be able to look at some of those precedents a little bit more readily and not be sort of trespassing on the generosity of IPR staff to do that. Obviously, the power to compel officer testimony or to subpoena additional records is a thing that IPR does not currently have, or at least does not really have a direct means of exercising. That will most likely be something we see in the new advisory body. Officer involvement in the complaint process. There's been a lot of discussion about the fact that officers typically do not come to CRC appeals, on their involvement in all other venues of this process is pretty limited as well. One of the things that's really interesting about that is Dan Handelman from Portland Cop Watch has pointed out they actually did the research, and the appeals that officers have come and sort of given their case, put their case at, they actually have a much higher incidence of those, findings being more or less in the officer's favor. So, you know, I think the perception is oftentimes that this is all about trying to, you know, move things forward and railroad an officer into something, and the reverse is actually true. We can have a much more fruitful dialogue if officers are allowed to participate. We also want a reduction of bureaucracy for appellants. Right now the system is, you know, a little bit labyrinthine even for us to understand, you know, where we are at in a complaint process, which is not IPR's fault. That's the fault of, you know, just the way the process is set up today. And then lastly, we are calling for the public review of use of deadly force cases, or at least a more public facing methodology for that. There's also a section in here, which again, we'll kind of just review in brief. Jessica has done some great work talking about sort of expanding on that concept of officer involvement. And talking about the need for restorative justice and for accountability. We are not looking strictly for punitive measures here. We're talking about a need for a system that allows for growth, allows for reconciliation, allows for a more fruitful process for everyone that's involved. And then lastly, future challenges. I think all of these are pretty well known. We're going to have a new city council, right? We're going to have a new form of government and a new police oversight body all within the next 2 or 3 years. And that will be a big challenge, trying to figure out how to navigate that, who to talk to, et cetera. Collective bargaining and arbitration. Obviously, whatever systems exist do not exist in a vacuum. They have to be bargained with the PPA and the PPCOA, the Portland Police Commanding Officers Association. Some of these things have to be approved by the legislature. And even if approved, a lot of those decisions still go to arbitration or to mediation if there's a complaint against an officer. We are working towards a more transparent, community-driven system of accountability. And I think one of the biggest things that we're, you know, now starting to recognize is the need for an effective and cogent transition plan. One of the big concerns that we have right now for the CRC is just that we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know how long we're going to be impaneled. And I think in very short order, we're going to start to see some more definitive timelines, or at least some proposed timelines, come from the PAC. But figuring out just all the mechanics of that, when do appeals shut off, when do we stop hearing PRBs, things of that nature, are really going to be, I think, the devil's in the details, as they say. So those are the high points of that report. I have talked for way too long. Chris, thank you so much for walking us through those items here. And I will post, I should have done this earlier, but I will try and post a link to the document if anyone wants to take a look at it. Any questions on the report? Attendees,
you may. I can post the draft on the CRC website. So,
okay, awesome. So, any questions from CRC audience members? If you have questions, feel free to put them in the comments as well.
No question. It looks great. I'm glad that you all are able to get that done so quickly, and also really like the restorative justice section. But all of it looks great, and I also like the wish list section. Seems very useful for those folks to know at the PAC.
Thanks, Taylor. Yeah, well, our section is a lot shorter than transition pass, so we're proud that we got there, but also recognize that there's a lot more in your work group's wheelhouse here. So let's take a look here. Yeah, and so Samir from CSD has just mentioned the comments here that we will be starting to see some draft timelines in the very near future. So I will, I guess, highlight this is not a PAC, you're doing it wrong kind of memorandum. A lot of it is there are things that they are currently weighing or debating, and there are things that they're going to have to take to city council. And, you know, I would say 95% of these things are things where we're saying, hey, you know what, you're on the right track. The proposals that you're putting forward, we agree with. We also want to you know, highlight, or if there's things that they're on the fence about, we want to say, hey, this is, you know, this is where we stand on this. So PAC is doing a tremendous amount of work and they're doing a great job. We want to make sure that we're supporting them and uplifting them as they try and get this across the goal line.
I just had one quick question or one quick comment before you move on, which is on the topic of subpoena power. I just wanted to clarify that IPR does have subpoena power for documents. We don't have the power to subpoena and to compel testimony from officers, but I just wanted to have that point of clarification is that we do have subpoena power. I think there are elements of our subpoena power that could be stronger, certainly, and that might be part of something you'd consider as part of your recommendations. I don't want to put words in your guys' mouth for your report. I want it to be yours, but I did just want to make that point of clarification.
Thank you for flagging that for me, Kelsey. I'll make that amendment right now. That's, if you notice, I kind of caught myself as I was saying that, because I was like, well, I think IPR can subpoena documents, but it's not often a thing that you have, that you avail yourselves of, I would say.
Right. Yes. It's, we use it on a limited basis. That's for sure. Yeah. So I would say that's true. Yeah. I noticed that as well. And I'm sure just sort of couching it maybe in some other language to get your point across as well would be good. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm just going to delete the part that says IPR cannot subpoena testimony, because that's factually, or they can't subpoena documents.
Yeah, we can subpoena documents. We can't subpoena officers for their testimony. Yeah.
Directly compel, I think, addresses that.
But we'll exactly.
Let's leave that at as is. Okay. So if no one has any major objections, again, you will get another chance to review this document before we go to, you know, before we publish this in a formal capacity. This is only approving it as a draft. But I guess it probably would make sense for us to take a vote just so there's no disagreement as to our decision to publish this as a draft document. So if no one has any other feedback, I will entertain a motion and a second to accept this as a first draft.
Pekarski moves.
Seconded. I also just noticed Julie joined.
Hey, Julie.
Hey, Julie. Hi.
How are you doing this evening?
Not bad, thank you. A little trouble logging in, but here I am.
All right.
And I will say, I will go ahead enthusiastically.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, we will... You actually are first on the list here of people who are present, so that works out perfectly. So we have one yay from Julie. Greg?
Aye.
You may vote aye. Chris?
Aye.
Sylvan?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Yeah. I think Jessica would have voted yes in absentia, but I think we'll just move forward as is. All right. Okay. So that draft is approved. We will get that over to PAC. David, I'll check in with you and Candace offline as to if there's a best way to do that. I think that takes care of work group updates. Greg, have you heard anything from, I guess, you know, if anything's going on over at Recurring Audit?
Not yet.
Okay. I know they've had a couple meetings, but I think I'm not sure if they met this last month. So any new business?
No, but I will say that there's a question. Dan Handelman had a question in the chat. It was no.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a look here. Well, I think we are two public comments, so I guess that's a good transition. Dan, we'll let you go first. Obviously, if you can keep it to about 3 minutes, and then anyone else who wants to make public comment, please raise your hand and we will let you go here. Let me see. How to talk. Or is it the call-in? Well, I'll let both of you.
I just typed phone really badly into the chat. Says I'm on the go. I meant phone. Okay, thank you. This is Dan Handelman. I use he, him pronouns. I'm with the group Portland Cop Watch. I'm also a member of the PAC, but I'm not here to speak as a member of the PAC tonight. However, that said, I happened to attend a recent meeting of the PAC where the transition plan was being discussed. And it didn't really occur to me until the last week or so that the police association might have an expectation that any complaint that comes in before the new board's in place will go through the existing system the way it's written until the new board starts taking on cases. So imagine that IPR's last case is day minus one, and the first day the new board is working is day one. So if there's an officer-involved shooting or a complaint that comes to you all on day minus one, then that means that they might expect the appeal will go to the CRC. So it's possible the CRC has to exist for a while because that transition might not happen for about a year from now. No, maybe even longer than that. So just bear that in mind. And I was glad to hear that you talked about recruiting new members, because that was another question that I actually had about PRB and CRC members. I know some of your memberships are running out this year. Just like the request that you have, this ongoing request you have to ramp up by getting yourselves a different standard of review, it's potentially something that the city and the PPA would have to hash out. But perhaps by doing so, by making it so that you have that new standard of review that will help, as you have been putting it, kind of grease the wheels for the new system. But your vote would still be a recommendation, whereas the new board would be the final say. I also, just looking at the director's report, which, you know, again, was only briefly presented tonight, there's 13 use of deadly force cases from the 2021 and 2022 that still haven't gone through the police review board, according to that chart on there. There are two or newer ones that somebody got hit in the head with a rifle in the April shooting that was alongside the Clackamas sheriff that haven't, you know, they've only just begun to be investigated. So I'm not sure why those are taking so long. I'm glad to hear some of you are doing PRBs. On that note, too, the PRB reports are now redacting the date that the hearings happened and the dates that the reports are being made. I have no idea why they redacted those, but a report came out a couple of weeks ago, and we did an analysis of that. I hope you all got that. If you didn't, I can put our link to our analysis in the chat. I had brought up, too, at the question at your last meeting where the OIR group presented, is CRC going to follow up on what the city code says, that you and IPR should be making sure the recommendations from OIR get implemented, because that is something that that you all can do, even in the absence of having appeals to work on. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan. Kelsey, did you want to answer anything on the sort of director's report side of that question? I do have some thoughts on the transition, Dan's transition questions, but.
Sure. My only comment on the director's report would be that you know, the police bureau is recruiting, but they have had an RFP out for more PRB facilitators to hopefully try to get through some of that backlog. So to hopefully increase that pool. So,
and I don't think this would be out of line to say some of those cases that are on the list right now have actually gone to PRB. They just haven't finalized all the back end stuff. Correct.
Exactly. Yeah, they're just in their final steps of the closing process, but they have already, some of them have already been to PRB. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I will say, Dan, I also noticed the redactions, which makes it hard for us to figure out. Sometimes I'll be reading to see, you know, what happened with a case that I was on, and I'll be like, I have no idea. There's so many protest cases, I have no idea if this is the one I did or somebody else's. But that is probably a bureau decision, I would assume. I don't think IPR is the one that publishes that report. So next time I talk with somebody over at the bureau, I will definitely bring that up. As far as the transition plan goes, I was smiling during Dan's comments, because Dan comes to the CRC meetings and makes these observations, and I've been going to the PAC meetings and also saying something very similar. So I think one of the big questions is, you know, we had a new discipline guide come online, and obviously at these police review boards, we have to kind of check every time there's a case and say, well, which one are we using? Which standards, you know, which discipline matrix? I assume that will very much be the same when the new system comes online, that anything that happens today will go to a PRB, will be presented to CRC for appeal if appealed, et cetera, et cetera. And so the question will be, you know, if the new system, you know, starts July 1 of 2024, 2025, or whatever the case may be, how much longer does CRC and IPR need to stay active? Or is there potentially a possibility to pull that into a panel on the new board and say, hey, you know, all appeals are going to be heard according to the new standards, except we've got five old CRC members here who are trained on the old system, and they're going to continue to staff PRBs or hear appeals. I think a lot of that is a logistics question. It's a budgeting and staffing question. But I think it's reasonable to assume that the standards and the methodologies will have to be enforced, because that's typically what collective bargaining is going to demand. So I think we'll get into that on Monday when we go talk to the PAC. But that is definitely something that we're watching pretty closely on the leadership side. So Dan, thanks for your comments. Samir, I see you've got your hand raised. I am sure, let's see here. I think you're unmuted.
Yes, thank you. My name is Samir Canal. I use he, him pronouns. I am a City of Portland employee at the Community Safety Division, where I'm the Advisory Boards and Commissions Manager and provide support to the Police Accountability Commission. Just wanted to say first, thank you to all of you for your work. I know that the timeline that was originally intended for the Transition Future work group was a little bit longer, and I know that it'll be really helpful for the members to receive this now rather than after the council deadline. So very much appreciate you as volunteers and for all you already do, and then adding to that this work, which is, as Vice Chair Delgado said, not just for posterity, but also for the PAC. Just wanted to mention that the Subcommittee on Transition Plan is going to have that briefing from CRC on next Monday, and hopefully IPR as well. We're working on that, but we'll schedule that whenever possible. And then that's next Monday, June 12th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Not the whole time for the briefing, but that's the time of the meeting. And then just also wanted to flag that the subcommittee will meet again on the 26th. As you are considering attending and giving input, definitely encourage you to do so whenever, and in addition to the briefing, but also feel free to share any of those other details, and we'll make sure that the draft report, however it's passed on, is circulated to members on the staff side. Thank you again.
Appreciate that, Samir. All right, last call for final public comment. All right, going once, going twice. All right, I think that concludes our agenda for the day. We got through it in just over half an hour here. So our next meeting will be, let me check the calendar here, August 2nd. So in 2 months' time. Thank you all for coming, and this meeting is adjourned. Have a great rest of your early summer.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
See ya.